Amen. Thank you, Paul and Bethany. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. And if you are involved in the music ministry here at Berean Baptist, make sure you see Patty Pearson. And she has a tentative music schedule for the next 2 months. And so make sure you talk to her about that. And that'll be good. Proverbs 23. One thing we learned this morning is if we ever have a fellowship and Bob Wilbar bakes a cake, nobody's going to want it. Amen. His salt amount in the cake was quite a bit higher than what most people are used to. My recipe calls for a teaspoon. And what'd you ask for, half a cup? It's a big difference. Thank you, Bob. Did you really know better, or were you just trying to help me out and be a blessing? Really? You knew it wasn't half a cup? Remember, Bob, your term of deacon is up. Honesty would be okay. Good. He just smiles. It's funny to watch. Amen. That was good. That really was a blessing. All right. Tonight we continue with part two. And the parts are the end. We're talking about the end of the year, of course, 2015. Part one this morning, we talked about consider the end. And tonight we're going to talk about continue till the end. Continue. So this morning, consider. Tonight, continue. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And again, verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Your expectation is whatever it was that you saw and you wanted and was your destination in the end, whatever it was that you desire to be the end, then that's your expectation. That's what you're longing for. That's what you desire. Could be called your vision. Could be your dream. This morning I challenged us to consider the end, and whatever it was you considered for the end. If it has to do with your job, and if it has to do with your ministry, if it has to do with your education, a relationship, marriage, whatever you might say, it could be the end of your life, could be the end of a year. Then the Bible says, surely there is an end and thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, receive it. Whatever that thing is, whatever that dream, that vision, that thing that you considered the end about and you said, this is what I'd like, this is how I'd like to finish, then why let it be cut off? Why not have that expectation? Why not achieve that goal? Why not reach that finish line? Why not do that thing that you considered? And so continue till the end. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight, and I do thank you for all the folks that have come tonight, and we are not gathered here by accident. We're here because you chose for us to be here tonight, and so I pray that you would meet with us and that I would have your power in my life, my preaching, but that you would then just speak to us. Lord, help us with the scripture, I pray. Guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I said this morning, I say it again, that 1 year from now, we will be at the end of 2016. We'll be at the end of 2016. And so as we think about the end, we are at the end of 2015. There's not a whole lot we can do about 2015. It's just a few days and it'll be over with. But there's a lot we could do about 2016. And that's why the challenge this morning to consider the end. Consider this time next year. Consider how you'd like to finish. Consider when we hand out the little certificates that you read through the Bible. Consider where it was that you quit last year. You know, oh, I got to Leviticus and that was it. I just couldn't take it. And well, consider where it was and decide this year, you know what, why don't you save Leviticus to last? You can do that. Amen. It's okay to do. But But the whole idea is to think, okay, what is it in 2015? Where did I fail, or where did I not achieve what I would like to have achieved? And what was it that I didn't do? And now consider, okay, this time next year, wouldn't it be great to say I did it? Wouldn't it be great to say I had a prayer life? You know, wouldn't it be great to say I tithed faithfully all last year? Wouldn't it be great to say I gave my faith promise to missions? I did it. I did it. And so many things. And certainly the final goal, the main goal, of course, is at the end of our lives, hearing the Lord say, well done. That ought to be everybody's goal. As a Christian, that ought to be what we desire to hear him say, well done. And so Moses, in Deuteronomy, we talked about it this morning, how Moses, at the end of his life, he said, it's wise. Wise people consider the end. And I talked about planning, and we used the example of going on a trip. You pick your destination, then you pick your route. And you can't pick a route till you know where you want to end up. And so many of us are so casual about where we want to end up in our lives. We're so casual about where we want to end up at the end of the year. We're casual about all of that, and what you need is to say, look, here's where I want to end up, and then we plan so that we end up there. Then next thing was to prepare. And the Bible, of course, gives us many ingredients for prosperity and success. And, of course, that's when we gave our illustration about the chocolate cake. And certainly, if you're going to seek counsel, you find somebody who's baked one. And somebody who's baked one that's good. If you want to make one, you want it to be like that. I mean, you know, if you want it to be hard as a rock or salty as a peanut, you know, I mean, that's up to you. However you want to do it, that's fine. But sad to say, that is what we do in life often. We find people that have done absolutely nothing that you're wanting to do. They've not achieved it. They've not been successful. They've not prospered, and that's who we listen to. Right, we do. And so much of the world, you know, when you're listening to the world, you're getting that kind of counsel. So number one was planning. Number two was consider the end by preparing. And then number three was consider the end by pursuing. And that point really just said many ends, endings to reach the end. There are, life is a series of endings. The Bible in Ecclesiastes, Solomon called them seasons. And they come and they go and they come and they go. And we may call them, in school, we may call them tests. Quizzes, tests, then you pass the grade. Quizzes, tests, then you pass the next grade. Quizzes, tests, and so on. And there's a lot of endings in order to reach the end. And therefore, I said that that we consider the end by pursuing. And we just keep going toward that end. Well, Proverbs 23, there are many examples of bad endings. In Proverbs 23, we have examples of bad endings, the result of gluttony, the result of covetousness. We have the result of envy and what that ends up with. We have the result of drunkenness and how that ends up. We have the result of immorality and how that ends up. And a lot of these things are things so many people are doing, and I doubt that this crowd is involved in a lot of those kinds of things, but the truth of the matter is, these are all bad endings in Proverbs 23. That's showing us many, many bad endings. And so, through this passage, I want to show you three things that I think in this little section of verses here will help us to continue till the end. And we need to continue, folks, honestly. We're watching people drop out of serving God. We watch people drop out of going to church. We watch people drop out of walking with God. We watch people drop out then of marriages, and people drop out of relationships, and people drop out of their education and goals there. People drop out of what they said God's will for their life was. And so many people, it's so easy to just drop out. But I'm talking to people today that you did consider the end, and you said, okay, here's how I want this to end. This is what I want to see happen. I want to read through my Bible. I want to have a prayer life. I want to give faithfully and tithe and give to missions, or whatever. I want to lead a soul to Christ. I want to run a bus route. Whatever it may be tonight, I think these three things will help us continue till the end. It could be a husband saying, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be the best husband I can be. It could be a wife saying the same thing about being the best wife she could be. It could be a couple that maybe is having a tough time, but you've decided, you know what, we're going to continue to the end. We're not just going to endure, we're going to enjoy. Because God gives us all the recipes. Three things out of these verses that will help us continue till the end. Number one is fear. The word fear, obviously, it's the fear of the Lord. But notice the words in verse 18. Now, it does say in verse 17, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And I am going to key on that. But here's the fear right here. Please don't miss it. Verse 18 says, for surely there is an end. You know, people live their lives. It amazes me how people live their days, their weeks, their months, their years, as if there's no end. It's like there is no consideration at all that someday there's an accounting. It's like the person, they get that credit card, you know? And boy, they get excited. It's like children. I remember our kids, you know, we would say, well, we can't afford it. And I remember the first time one of our children, they were very young, they said, well, Dad, just use that little piece of plastic. And that means we can afford it. There are people that think that means you can afford it because you have it. There are honestly, and there was another time, I remember Angela said this one time, she said, oh, you don't need money, just write a check. Yeah, and there's people that live that way. You know, oh, I don't have to have money, I can just write a check. Oh, I don't have to have money, I'll just give them my credit card. And we live that way. But listen to me, the fear is there is an end. It's kind of like all that Christmas spending, right? It's like all that Christmas eating. Yeah, you said, I'm not getting on the scale. I'm not getting on the scale till next year. Right, that's next week. Actually, it's the end of this week. See, there's an end. And by the way, just because we don't get on the scale, does that mean anything? Seriously, what does that mean? You didn't get on the scale. You just don't know. Well, what I don't know won't hurt me. Pass the Doritos. Amen. There is a fear in those words. Surely there is an end. Surely, unless Jesus comes, 2016 will end. Surely there's an end. And the Bible says in reference to that, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end. Surely. And there should be a fear. There should be a reverence and awe of God Almighty because there is an end. Do you understand? The day will come when you will stand before Him. Everyone will. And I understand, we know that as Christians, we'll not answer for our sin because He answered for our sin when He hung on a cross and He paid the price for us. But I want to remind you how important it is that we realize, and I need to hear it myself because we tend to forget that in that day when we stand before our Savior and we see the one thing that man did that is in heaven, and that's the nail prints. And we see it. We'll wish we had done more. We'll wish we'd given Him more. We'll wish we'd have done all these things. Surely, and there is an end, because that day's coming. Again, it's not, we don't have to fear going to hell if we're saved. You never have to fear that. Praise God. But what about the awe and the respect of the one who gave everything and we couldn't just give Him some time? We couldn't just give Him our finances? We couldn't give Him our lives? Surely there is an end, an awe, a reverence, a respect. When I was in high school, I'm guessing it was 9th or 10th grade. I can't remember if it was 9th or 10th grade. But one of the deans of our school, I was in a big public school in Marion, Indiana. And one of the dean's name was Mr. Gross. And Mr. Gross, I really didn't know, is a big school, and I really didn't know him very well. And I kind of, you know, guys, people drew pictures of him and all that kind of stuff and kind of made fun of him and everything. And one time, I remember, I forged somebody's hallway pass. And actually, it wasn't a hall. It was either a hallway pass or it was a, I forged a parent's signature or something like that. I don't remember. And then I forged his signature. And I'll never forget this. Because it was a huge school, but the cafeteria had a long hallway going to the cafeteria, and then right outside that, or right at the end of that long hallway, one end was the cafeteria, the other end was all the offices of the administration. And I got caught forging that pass, and I got called to the office. And I thought, oh, well, you know, this isn't going to be a big deal. And the thing is, my note said I had to see Mr. Gross. I really didn't know him that well. I saw pictures of him. You know, pictures kids draw don't usually depict what the person really looks like. And so I walked down that hallway, and I walked down, and I saw all the students are lined up for lunch. And I thought, wow, you know, everybody's there, and that's neat, and I'll be out there soon getting ready to get lunch. And I went into the office area, and there was Mr. Gro. He was huge. I really didn't realize how big he was. And I didn't realize he was bald, and, you know, back then I thought that was kind of hideous looking. Now I think it's very handsome. But isn't that right, John? But I saw him there, and he just was not happy. He did not smile. And Mr. Gross, he talked like this. Well, Rogers, I see you signed my name to something. You know, all of a sudden things weren't funny. Have you ever been in a position where you thought something was funny and then it wasn't funny? And I'll never forget, he and the other dean, I believe his name was Mr. Mason, they gathered in there and he brought out this stick about that long. And it had holes in it. The holes in it, really, it is an amazing thing what that does to you. By the way, those are the good old days, amen. And I'm talking. He had a customized grip that was on the end of that thing, and I noticed them, and I thought about it, and I thought, now you know, I wonder what they're doing, because he opened all the doors. All the doors were being opened. I watched him. Mr. Mason walked, and he walked over, and he opened all the doors, and he opened all the doors leading to that hallway where all those students were lined up down that hallway. And it hit me just before he hit me. That everybody down that hallway was going to hear what was about to happen. I will never forget that as long as I live. Because I got three swats. I was in 9th or 10th grade. You say, well, I don't think that's what's wrong with our world. Because that changed my life, literally. And I mean, the first whack, I wanted to scream, but immediately, you know, I thought of the hallway. You know what I'm talking about? And in my mind, I'm thinking, they're going to know who I am. And that first whack, I thought about screaming, and then I thought about not screaming, and then I realized I couldn't scream because I was in so much pain. I'm serious. And the second whack, I mean, these are the kind of whacks that you don't feel it until later on. It is that hard. It's like it just takes everything. It's like, ah! You know, by the time he was done, it was totally silent down the hall. Usually you'd hear people talking complete. It's like they went out there and they said, shh, everybody listen. I'm talking hundreds of kids. Now I'm going to tell you something. I learned that day to fear and to respect that man. I hardly signed my own name. I'm serious. I mean, listen. I'm telling you, I was absolutely terrified of that man from that day forth with a reverential kind of a fear, a respect and awe of his power. Folks, listen to me. God, God is the reason you're breathing right now. He is the reason your heart is beating. He is the reason that you have your job. He is the reason that you have your car. He is the reason that you have your home. And again, he loves you. And I don't doubt this for 1 minute that Dean loved me. But I'm just saying to you, fear that there is an end. There is a reckoning. There is an accounting. There is an end. And it will take place someday. And you know, the thing is, we often fear when we're in trouble, right? And, you know, the next time I was ever called there, even if I had to pay a bill or anything, it's like, hello, where's Mr. Groves? You know, I just, scared me. But, you know, the best kind of fear is what it talks about here. It says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Respect him all the day long. Be in awe of God all the day long. You know, it's not just when you're in trouble. The best is all the day long. You know, you're driving down the highway and there's a car in the median area there. And what do? Immediately, tap on the brake or slam on the brake or whatever. Even if you're not speeding, you just see that thing right there. But you know, the best way to drive is to watch the signs. And whatever that number is on there, don't go over it. And then you don't have to worry about seeing those cars in the middle like that. You know, that's what he's saying. He's saying, just live your life with a fear of the Lord. Don't wait until you're in trouble, because when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. That's the end. Fear the Lord all the day long. Look real quick, Psalm 119, verse 38. Psalm 119, 38. The Bible says, establish thy word unto thy servant. Look what it says. Who is devoted to thy fear. Who is devoted. In other words, you know what? When I wake up in the morning, I should have a fear of the Lord. As noon approaches, I should have a fear of the Lord. Not because he wants to hurt me, but because I respect him and I am in awe of him and I reverence him and I know that he controls everything, every aspect of my life. If I'm gonna make it to the end and have the right end, and I'm gonna have the expectation that is really what I want in my life, I'm gonna have to have a fear of the Lord. I'm going to have to fear. Surely there is an end. And by far the best thing is to be devoted to the fear of the Lord. And to make that something that is a part of me, every bit as much as breathing is part of me. To know that my God can stop that at any time. To know that my God can, things can go terribly wrong at any time. By the way, he told us, he warned us, he made it very clear in Scripture, not only the things he could do just by speaking, but what about Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I mean, we're so silly sometimes and so foolish sometimes when we don't think that's going to happen. There should be a fear that whatever I sow, it is going to come up. It never comes up right after you sow it, but it will come up. And we need to be so careful and fear, you know? Fear the harvest if you're sowing the wrong stuff, because the harvest will come. I think that's why Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him. He's the Creator. And remember when you're young. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. It is always the way it is. But again, the reaping is always when? It's at the end. So if you want to reap corn, sow corn. If you want to reap beans, sow beans. Amen? I mean, whatever it is, it goes right back to, okay, I don't want to reap these bad things. Then don't sow bad things. Because it is inevitable, and the fear of the Lord is the fact that He controls all of that. It is why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, because if we push aside the fear of the Lord, we're fools. We are not wise. We are not smart. We are foolish. And there needs to be a fear of the Lord. If you're going to continue till the end, you're going to have a godly fear. You are going to have to, we are going to have a awe and a reverence and a respect for our God, because there is an end. You ever think about it? It's like that person that, you know, the teacher gave the test. It happens all the time. I used to get so tired. Pastor, my teacher assigned a test today. Really, when did you find out about it? 2 weeks ago. Okay. What's your problem? Well, I was busy. You're busy for 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, I just was so busy I couldn't get it done. And now it's today. Can you get me out of that? Of course not. Right. Well, why not? Because surely there's an end. You just came to the end. Yeah. And it's like, I've testified to this. When I actually cared about school, and certainly all of my college days I cared about school, but I liked tests. People get so mad. Why are you so excited? Because I studied. It's amazing when you study how a test really isn't that big a deal. That's true, isn't it, Brother Chase? But I'll be honest with you. I do remember sweating through a few tests that I didn't study. And it's like, something's got to happen here. It did. I didn't do too well. Surely, there is an end. It's like standing before your class to give your speech, but you didn't prepare. There's maybe nothing worse in all the world. In speech class, unprepared. And there you stand. I watched girls that were so nervous, they started crying. I watched one girl, I'll never forget, one girl was so nervous, she started wadding up her skirt. She had her skirt wadded pretty much almost above her knees, and the teacher said, "Whoa, stop!" You know? Because she had no clue. Surely there is an end. And as we come to the tests in life and the things in life that God has, you know, if we're not, we don't have that fear of there being an end and there being a God that's in control. And there's a God that we have to answer to. There's a God that is watching. There's a God, we're His workmanship, and He can get glory from us. It's like the girl in fourth grade. We were going to a Christian school contest, and one of our girls was a good artist. She could paint, she could draw. She was excellent. She was in fourth grade, and she did real well. But she waited, and it was the day that we were to have the contest, and she got on the bus, and she said, I brought my project, but it's not done. I didn't put it in a frame like I was told to do months ago. And here it is, but I don't want to enter it. And I said, you are going to enter it. One of the teachers said, preacher, you know, she's going to be embarrassed. I said, she needs to be embarrassed. And I can still see it. It kind of rolled up, you know, because it was paint and everything. And it was a nice painting, but it had no frame. It had no backing. And it curled. And she set it on the table. And the teacher said, Pastor, it's going to really be an embarrassment to our school. I said, I don't care. That's her work. And there was an end. And there it sat, and it curled. And the judges came to look at it, and they had to unroll it. And then they lifted their hands, and it rolled back up. You say, oh, that's a terrible thing. But that's, folks, that's how it is in life. Can you imagine going to work, and the boss says, okay, do this. Oh, I'm not ready. You won't have to worry about being ready very long. Amen. Fear, number one. Surely there is an end. Continue till the end. This will help you. Fear the Lord, because the end It's coming. It really is. Number two is the word focus. Focus. Notice what it says in verse 18. It says, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. That's that thing that you saw when you considered the end. That's that ending that you want. That's that A on that test. That's that A on your speech. That's that song that you sing, and it's such going to be a blessing, and you've worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, but you won't do it if you don't focus on it. It's that reading through your Bible in a year. It's that prayer life. It's that giving. It's that faithfulness. It's that leading a soul to Christ. It's your expectation. And I want that expectation, and I don't want it to be cut off. I want it to happen. That expectation, that's your goal. That's your vision. That's your dream. It's the final destination. Amen? And it's so sad because often our expectation is not the end. People sitting in jail tonight, that certainly wasn't their expectation. People in homes that are a wreck tonight, that certainly was not their expectation. Talked to somebody just the other day, and their life is a total wreck. They did not one day say, you know what, I'm going to plan to ruin my life. People don't do that. They just don't do it. And how sad that a dream usually doesn't end up being the end. And the reason is we don't fear, but we also lose focus. I don't know of anybody that dreams of failing. I don't know anybody that dreams of having sorrow. Oh, if I could just be sorrowful. I don't think so. I don't know of anybody that their main goal in life is to be hurt. I don't know of anyone who longs for divorce. Oh, I just can't wait to get married so I can get divorced. It's so pleasant. I don't know anybody that does that. I don't know of anybody who's made their dream to drop out. You know, you go to college, whatever, and you pay all that money, and you enroll, and you're a freshman. You say, oh, I just can't wait till I drop out. That's not what we do. I don't know anyone who's made it their goal to be homeless. I don't know anybody who says, you know, I just can't wait till I'm old enough to go to prison. That'll be a wonderful thing. We don't do it. But we dream, we have a vision, we want that ending to be good. And we want to hear God say, well done. And the sad thing is, it could be. If we wouldn't lose focus. Here's a way we lose focus. Verse 17, it starts off and says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Boy, that gets us in trouble every time. Because honestly, you know, I want to hear God say, well done. But I see sinners who don't care whether God says, well done, and I see them driving a nicer car. Or I see them in a nicer house. Or I see them, they look like they're having more fun. We went to church. Huh, they were having a barbecue outside. Yeah, I know. That's our problem. That's how we lose focus. You know what? When you consider the end tonight, and as I preached this morning, as you consider, how do you want to end? How do you want your life to end? How do you want the year to end? Get your eyes off the sinners. The Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Look at Psalm 12, verse 8. Good description of our world. Never preached on that, but I need to. It's a good verse. Psalm 12 and verse 8. The Bible says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. That is our world because the vilest people are being exalted today. Vile, wicked sin is being exalted all around us, and we are surrounded. Now get your eyes off of it. Well, look at them, how they're doing. They lie all the time. Look at them, how they're doing. They've got money. Look at them. I mean, they drink liquor. They seem to be having fun. I'm telling you. You get your eye on your expectation. You get your eye on what you believe, would be the best way to end. And you do not take your eyes off of it. But sinners, wickedness will constantly, it will constantly be pulling at you. And so a young person quits college instead of finishing. Or quits high school instead. Well, they're having fun. Look at this guy. He quit and he's got lots of money. Your expectation, your vision, your dream, make it the most important thing. Keep your eyes on it and stay focused. There are any number of things that will keep you out of your Bible. Any number of things that will keep you off your knees. Any number of things that will keep you away from a bus ministry. Any number of things that will keep you from giving your tithe, giving to missions. So many things, and most of it will come down to envying sinners. Come on, how many people have quit tithing because sinners had a nicer car? Well, I know how they had their nice car. They didn't give that money to church. Well, I know how they have such a nice house. I know why they have such nice clothes. I know why they have tickets to the games. Well, they don't give all that money to the church. And all of a sudden, you get that statement from Berean Baptist Church last year, you gave, and maybe your wife says, we could have done this. There's our trip to Hawaii. You know, there's our cruise. Well, there's the, you know, and all of a sudden, you sinner woman. But anyway, all of a sudden, we got our eyes off of the expectation. An expectation that was a right thing. It was a good thing. Amen. It was the best thing. And we envied sinners. Here's what our expectation often gives way to. I'm afraid I'll miss out on something. Every one of us goes through it. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. Some of you are thinking that way right now. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. I might miss out. And so, again, this is what happens to Wednesday night church. Well, I might miss out on something. The world is doing this. Or Sunday night often. Well, but the world is doing this. And that's why we quit the bus route. Because, well, but I might miss Saturday. It's my only day. I know. And I might miss out. And a young person goes to a conference or they're in church and God speaks to their heart about being pure. And all of a sudden they start seeing all the sinners. And they say, you know, I don't want to miss out on something. But you gave your heart to God and said you're going to stay pure till you get married. And you're going to give yourself as a pure spouse. Yeah. But I might miss out. Yeah. And a couple says, you know, I can't wait till our silver anniversary. That's 25 years. Yeah. And that's your expectation. Then you make it. How about our golden anniversary? Yeah, that's 50 years. Make it. What about our diamond anniversary? That's 75 years. You and I will be 93. Hey, pucker up, baby. And I'm going to tell you, you won't make any of those endings if you get on that internet and start chatting with the wrong people and you get chatting with people in person and you know what the Bible calls it? A strange woman. It's a strange man too. And strange is anyone who is not your spouse. Amen. And it'll rob you of that expectation. I'm looking forward to our 75th. Amen. I don't know if that means I have to give you another diamond or how that all works, but by then you might not be able to see and I can get one of those fake ones. At least I won't be able to see and I can say, well, I thought it was good. You know, alcohol robs a lot of folks of their expectation. Sure does. But look at TV. I mean, it's just portrayed as being the greatest thing in all the world. All the cool guys drink liquor and all the hot women drink liquor, right? It's robbed so many of expectation. Drugs robs people of their expectations, right? But we get it in our mind. Yeah, but look at all these people. I know so-and-so, they smoke marijuana and it helps them. Oh, yeah, it does. That's why it's called dope. It's for dopes. Gambling has robbed many people of their expectations. By the way, the office pool for the games, it's gambling. I know, let it get quiet. It's gambling. Lust has robbed many people of their expectations. I'm talking about whatever that dream, whatever that goal. Lust will steal it from you. It'll cut it off, and you won't experience it. A job can rob you of your expectation. I know people that were going to serve God. They had all kinds of dreams and visions of their bus route and different things, but a job took it away. Yeah. Family can do it. The family that it doesn't have your dream. The family that doesn't think it's important for you to read through your Bible next year. The family members that don't think it's important that you be faithful to church. The family members that don't think it's important that you tithe. The family members, you know, the ones on the outside that are looking in and they see your happy little family and how well you're doing and they don't like it, and so they kind of come along and say, well, you don't need to do that. You can, you know, I know a lot of people that they don't go to church that much and they're happy. They don't read their Bible like fanatics, and they're doing okay. Be careful. Focus. Focus. I don't know how many young people right here at this altar have wept and prayed, and God put on their heart a dream, an end. And they lost their focus, and now they're so far away from that. I often think, you know, do you ever think of it? Do you ever think of it? Yeah, be careful of your counsel. You'll end up getting a half a cup of salt in your cake. Amen. Look what Proverbs 15:22 says. I'm on the back page. Proverbs 15, verse 22. I've preached on this before. I love this verse. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So I recognize here very clearly that if I have a purpose and I have an expectation and I have an ending that I want to see, you know what? I'm going to find somebody that agrees with me on that thing and I'm going to go back to them. And if I have a purpose and I have an ending and I have something that I want to see happen in my life, I am going to make myself accountable to a person or to people, and I'm going to go to them, or I'm going to go to those who I think will also want that end for me. And I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to go to them often and say, hey, am I still going in the right direction to end up like that? Because without that counsel, purposes are disappointed. And I've said this before, and I will say it again. Most people that change, they change their counsel. And they change who they listen to. And all of a sudden, mom and dad wasn't that important, and the preacher didn't matter, and their Sunday school teacher didn't know what he was talking about, and their Bible college teacher didn't know what they were talking about, and you decided to choose some other counsel. And you know what? Your purpose will be disappointed. Amen. Amen. We need to seek counsel which will keep us focused on that expectation, on that purpose, on that dream, on that goal, on that ending. Seek counsel that's going to help sharpen you. That's why iron, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Don't go to butter and try to sharpen yourself. But, you know, here's our tendency. We find somebody weaker than us because we know that they'll agree with whatever it is that is not our focus. It's crazy. Because we have this idea, well, I'm going to miss out on something. Let me tell you something. You do right. And here, you're going to miss out on a hangover. You'll miss out on that. I've seen them. I've watched too many. Some of you have had hangovers before. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just miss that? I've watched people, honestly, I watched one man one time. I can still see him. A fly was buzzing and he said, man, there's a plane flying off a low. I thought, are you crazy? And the headache was so bad and vomiting and all that just because, oh, it was a great night, wasn't it? Yeah, but a pretty rotten morning. I know. Keep focused, Christian. Keep focused, young person. Keep focused. Oh, yeah, you'll miss out on hearing the click of the cell door. Yeah, I'm so glad. All my prison and jail experiences, when I heard that click, I was on the other side. And at least, or if I was on the inside, I knew there was somebody, I was going to push a button, they were going to let me out. You'll miss out. You know, young lady, honestly, you follow the vision, the ending, the dream, the expectation, the purpose that God puts in your heart, and you'll miss out being beaten up by your husband. You'll miss it. You'll miss out. Hey, young person, you'll miss out on being cheated on by your spouse. I think those are good things to miss out on. You'll miss out on the prodigal's pig pen. I mean, God shows us these things. You'll miss out on homelessness. You'll miss out on an abortion to cover up your sin. You'll miss out on drug withdrawal or alcohol withdrawal or any withdrawal. You'll miss out on that. You'll miss out on constant fighting. You'll miss out on all those things and so many more. But listen to me. Listen to me. I know that if I'm missing out on everybody else is having fun. Listen to me. It's not fun to when you consider the end. It becomes more realistic when you know the end. Because Solomon in verse 17, he said, let not thine heart envy sinners. And while you're focused on doing right, and all of a sudden you look over at those sinners and you think, wow, that looks like fun. You don't see them in the end. And you see Miley doing her thing. And you say, she looks like she's having fun. But you don't see her when the world's through with her. And all the rest of them, you don't see that. You see them on top. They're not going to show you when they're down on the bottom. I remember the Marlboro man? Oh, Marlboro. You know, back when they had cigarette commercials, he was the real tough guy and everything. You know, you see him being the real tough rodeo kind of a cowboy guy. But you don't see him in the hospital bed gasping because of emphysema. But I'm in the hospital with him, praying with him when he can't catch a breath. Yeah. Yeah, with the beer parties and the beer jokes and the liquor and all that kind of stuff. But you don't see the broken vows. And you don't see the broken homes. And you don't see the broken dreams. And you don't see the broken lives. And you don't see the death of cirrhosis of the liver. You see Naomi in her worldliness of Moab living it up. But you better read the rest of the story, because after she's been used up by the world, she says, call me Mara, which means bitter. We see Saul is the king on top. But don't forget, later on, he's falling on his own sword. We see Judas and the wealth of 30 pieces of silver. But you better read in Acts where he's hanging and his guts burst out. I'm just saying, we see all the Absaloms out there and the pretty boys. And boy, they're doing their thing and they're having a time, aren't they? But read the rest of the story when he's hanging from his hair from the tree with 3 darts in his heart. You have to understand that as a pastor, oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, they're doing it. Oh, they're doing it. Oh, they're doing it. And wow, what about me? I'm missing out. But I've had him in my office and I've watched him grab the tissues by the handfuls as they weep and they tell the story of the end. Oh, the end of the story. Oh, yes, the end of the story. Oh, yeah, the end of the story. Keep your focus. As everything and the glamour and the glitz, it all looks so good. Keep your focus. I know. You see the girls who are advertising themselves like harlots so that a man will lust after them. But there's an end. In fact, the Bible talks about the end. Proverbs 11, verse 22. It does talk about the end. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know, that verse absolutely breaks my heart. Because a precious little girl, a jewel in a swine snout. You say, well, what's that mean, preacher? Well, just think of the end. Where is the swine snout? Watch a pig sometime. That precious jewel that is in that swine snout is in the sewer and the garbage of the world, but it's still a precious jewel. It isn't worth it. It's not worth it. As a jewel of gold in a swine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You say, yeah, but they're all doing it. They're all flaunting this and shrink wrapping their bodies and all of that. Where does the swine snout end up? Focus on the end. Seriously, if I was a young lady, I would look at this aisle every time I'm in church, and I would envision myself walking down that aisle pure. If I was a young man, I would look at this aisle every time I'm in this auditorium, and I would walk up here and maybe even come up here and envision yourself standing right here and looking down that aisle, and the young lady coming to meet you here, she's pure, but you, sir, instead of what the world says, you also are pure. She deserves you to be pure. And I would stand and I would envision. You know, as a pastor, I do that. I envision our kids coming down that aisle. I envision a fella standing over here to my left, sweating, terrified. I envision them coming down. He goes down to take her arm and to bring her up, and he's afraid that lightning might strike when they touch. It won't, but he's afraid it will. And I envision that, and I'm excited about that. You say you're an old fogey. I honestly am one that has learned when I consider the end, I'm going to continue till the end. You don't think that the devil tries to get me not to preach this kind of stuff? I'm not satisfied with our jewels being in pig manure. I'm not satisfied with that. Well, it's their choice, but I'm not satisfied, and I'm going to fight it. As long as I can fight it, I'm going to preach about it. Our young people, our old people, everybody. There's something you dream for. There's something you said, I'd like to see. I'd like it to happen. You know what? I want to help you get there as best I can. Fear of the Lord. That's one thing. That'll help. There's no question. And focus. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your heart. Talk to people who will encourage you to stick with it. And then the last thing is faith. It's just simply faith. In verse 19, back to our text, wherever that is, Proverbs 23, go back there if you would, and then I'm done. Proverbs 23 and verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Faith, guide thine heart. Trust the end that God put in your heart. Young people go to conferences, and they hear preaching, and they're probably the closest to God they ever have been, and they make a decision, and then some parent or some adult is flippant about it instead of saying, praise God. Amen. I can name two people right now. I won't name them, but I could name two people that I believe with all my heart, because they told me so, God called them to preach. Both of those young men came home from a conference. I wasn't even at the conference. Came to me, said, God has called me to preach, to be in the ministry. I'm so excited. And then they went home. One mother said, you're just emotional. Man, that breaks my heart. You're just being emotional. And another one said, well, there's no money in that. Well, I can testify there's not as much money as there is in other things. But what about the end? Amen. What about saying, God, I did what you told me to do, no matter what? The end that you chose, trust God with it. Trust Him with it. Trust Him. The end you chose. The other night we were in Toledo, and very seldom do I use my OnStar because I don't go that many places. But we were in Toledo, and we parked in the hidden parking. How many even know about that? Well, I'm not telling you then because I don't want anybody else parking there. But at the zoo, there's another parking place where you don't have to be around all the people. Some of you are wanting to know now. Anyway, I'm going to say it's off of Broadway. Is that right? Broadway? That sounds right. Anyway, so I was over there on that side of the road and back in that area. And so I told OnStar, I said, home, take me home. And so they said, Mr. Rogers, you know, we see you're doing this, that, and the other thing. And I said, take me home. And they said, okay, it is being programmed to your car and all that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, we started driving and said, turn right here. And in 20 feet, turn left here. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around, I'm saying, I don't feel good about this. And Brenda's saying, honey, I don't feel good about this. And it said, turn left here. And I'm looking left, and I'm thinking, whoa, I don't feel good about this at all. But you know what I had to do? I had to trust what was programmed. And guess what? We made it. Here we are. No. But how many times do we say, well, it just doesn't feel right. I don't feel good. It doesn't feel right. I need to trust my feelings. Yeah, but everybody, other people went other ways. By the way, I always watch. I always do. And OnStar was telling me to turn left. The guy behind me turned right. And I'm thinking, oh, don't rethink it. It's okay. It's programmed. I got news for you. When God programs something in your heart, that's probably the way to go. I'm going to say, when you're right with God, when you're walking with God, you're making decisions for God, you're on an altar, and you say, oh, God, I will do this. I think that's the end. You better stick with. No matter how you feel, no matter what everybody else is doing, no matter whether it's dark and it's unfamiliar and you're scared, you just trust by faith the God that programmed that in your heart, and it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Amen. I'm just about done. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Here's one that did it. We read this passage a lot. It's such a wonderful passage. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. Listen to me. Those greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he didn't see those then. How many times did he choose and keep choosing and kept going and kept trusting, but he didn't see those treasures? He didn't know about the greater riches in Christ that was greater than the treasures in Egypt. But he believed it. Amen. He believed his God. He trusted his God. And he made a choice. And even to the point where he said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh could have cut him into little pieces. And if he did, then so be it. And I believe with all my heart that was Moses. It was, I'm trusting God. Faith all the way to the end. And so, continue. Continue. You know, consider the end, but continue till the end. You'll have to have fear of the Lord. You'll have to have a focus, and you'll have to have faith. Just trust what God put in your heart. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. No one's looking around or talking. Consider the end. Continue. Till the end. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight about something, please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up all over. God's speaking to my heart. Thank you. I see some young people. That's always a blessing. Some older folks, some moms, some dads. Others, pray for me. Pray for me. And Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts. And I pray you help each of us to consider the end and to know surely there is an end and to have a fear and to keep a focus and to have the faith to just keep right on going. Continue, continue till the end. Lord, you put in some folks' hearts different things. If they've turned from it, God, don't let the expectation be cut off. Let them see the end. Let them experience that thing they wanted to experience one day. Please, give us some victories tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please.